part of the ordination service is that someone presents you to the presbytery for consideration to be ordained. My granddad was the one who presented me to the presbytery that morning for the purpose of my ordination. And he said a few things about me, but most of all he talked about the Savior. And this morning, if I could, for just a few moments, present someone to you that is precious to me, I would title this message simply, God. You may say, preacher, we've all heard about God. There's nothing new that you can tell us about Him, and I'm sure that I can't. But I can tell you this morning that God is the greatest thing ever. There's a lot of things as they come out, and I'm going to kind of take a stab at something this morning, and maybe you'll find it funny, and maybe you won't. There's this new phenomena out that's called Pokemon Go. That's all I've seen for the last 2 or 3 weeks is about this and how it has just changed people's lives, apparently. Well, you know, there are fads that go in life. You know, when I was in high school, one of the things that you had to have, and if you didn't have them, you weren't cool. And I don't know how it is now. I'm not in high school, so I don't know. But if you didn't have a pair of Nike Shocks, why, you just weren't in the cool crowd. Why, you just didn't have anything. You didn't have a pair of those. I don't know if they still even make them or not. But there are fads that they come and go, and you know, people get on the bandwagon for a while and they really take part in things, and soon enough you don't hear about them anymore. I guarantee you this time next year, Pokemon Go will be a thing of the past. We won't hear a thing about it. If you have it on your phone, that's fine. You do what you've got to do. Bless your heart if you do it, but that's fine. It doesn't matter to me, but it's a fad. Things come and things go, but there's one thing that will never change, and that is God. Brother Ron the other night talked about holding to God's unchanging hand and how He has not changed and how He will not change. I'm glad this morning that the God I serve has not changed and will not change. I'm glad He's an almighty, supreme being that is greater than I am, that He's greater than you are, that He's greater than this world and anything that it has to offer. I'm glad that God is. I'm glad that He always will be. Turn with us to the 37th chapter of the book of Job. 37th chapter of the book of Job. And I want you to realize something about Job this morning. Most of you all have heard his name. You know what happened to Job? Job lost everything. Just lost it all. I mean, he lost his family. He lost his, I guess you could say, he just lost the farm. He lost everything that he had because Satan wanted to try to tempt Job. And Job, and God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? Knowing that Job was an upright man of God, that he served God, that he loved God, and that no matter what, he knew that Job would not turn against him. You know, Job never cursed God. If anybody had ever had a right to, and we don't have a right to, I guess Job probably would have been the closest one to have done that. I said the other night in a sermon at Faith that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And the Lord gave things to Job and He took them away. But despite all of those things, Job loved God. There were a lot of times as you read through the chapters of Job that you think Job is just about ready to just call it quits. We might this morning, some of you may be just about ready to call it quits on God. You know, there are a lot of people today that don't even believe in the name of God, much less the name of Jesus. They don't even give a thought about God or about things that He wants or things that will happen because of Him. God is not even mentioned anymore except when somebody's taking His name in vain. And brothers and sisters, Junior Moore used to sing a song, His name is more than just a swear word. He's more than just a word that we use in everyday conversation. He is the God of all things. And Job realized that. 37th chapter of the book of Job says that this also, my heart trembleth. In the chapter before, Job was talking about the strength of God, the miraculousness of God. You read back through that if you get a chance. It said that this, my heart trembleth,
and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And if for a few moments this morning I could take for just a lesson text, be verse 14. Hearken unto this, or listen unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. We go back to the beginning. And I used this a little bit the other night, and I guess my mind has been there some this week, knowing the thoughts and the sermons that I had to preach. And we go back to the beginning of time. You turn over to the first chapter in the Bible, the very first words that are spoken in our Bible. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. There's a question in people's mind today, and they wonder, where has God always been? Me and Brother Colin have talked about this at different times. We cannot understand where God always was. There's a belief today that God just popped up one day. But I believe there's a place that God has always resided, that God has always been, and it's hard for our feeble imagination to be able to understand that. I can't imagine a being just always being around, just always being the supreme thing that holds this whole world together. But it says in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So God has always been. From the very first moment that anything ever was, there has been a God. Everything that we see before us this morning is because of God's creation. It's because of His marvelous hand that anything that has been made or will be made is because of God. All things are made by this supreme, miraculous being. And I thought about what Job was thinking about and what was written there. And I don't know if you can tell just how beautiful that language is when describing how God is. You know, we today, as Missionary Baptists, we believe in a three-part God or a three-personality God. We call it the Trinity or the Godhead. And we've been accused many times of being polytheistic or believing in God. But I want to say this morning that I have just one God. He's always just been one God, but He has three parts to Him. It's God the Father, the Supreme God, God the Son, God the Savior, named Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter of this entire world. You see, they all three work together to make themselves what this world is. You know, there had to be a God to create things. That's the God that was in the beginning that created the heavens and the earth. But there was a God, the Son. And He's the one that came to die for us. And then Jesus had to go away, so there had to be another God, or the same God, in the midst of those things, that would be the Comforter for the world.
and that's God, the Holy Spirit. And you say, "Preacher, I want you to explain that to me." Well, you'll wait a long time. Because I can't, in my mind, I can't imagine having three parts to one thing like that. But the Bible says that they are three in one, and it says they work together. It says that they are together. And I believe the express mind of God is this holy book that we have before us today. I believe it is the expressed mind of the things that God wants us to know. But I'm so glad this morning that we serve a God that is able to have three facets to Him to cover all of the bases. You know, sometimes I wish there were three of me. It seems like I get up in the mornings and I think, you know, I don't have much to do today. And before I know it, or before I even get out of the bed, my day has gotten full really quickly. You see, there are times I wish I could split myself right down the middle so that I could cover all the bases that I need to. But you know, our God is everywhere all of the time. He's everywhere at any moment to be here or there. And you know the best thing about it? He's able to be the God of this entire world. He's able to take His hand and wrap it around this world, but He's small enough to live right in here. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? The God that created this entire world, He lives here." And if you've been saved by the grace of God, I want you to realize this morning that God lives in you as well. Aren't you glad this morning that the God of all comfort, the God of all magnificence, the God of everything lives in your heart? And if He does not, you need to be saved. I read these verses of Scriptures that are in Job. And I see the thunder. I hear the thunder. I see the lightning. It talks about He tells the snow where to be. He talks about the rain and its great strength. You know, there are places in the Bible that talk about the strength of God. The chapter before this talks about that. Have you ever thought about the strength of our God able to create the world? Can you create a world? No. Can anybody else create a world? There have been scientists for years that have been trying to recreate what we have today. But I'm going to say this morning, they'll never create anything that's as magnificent as what God did when He spoke things into existence. You just comprehend that for just a moment. My God was able to speak things into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and guess what there was? There was light. I've never been able to walk into a room and say, "Books, come to me." And the books get up off a shelf and walk to me. They've never done that. I don't have those abilities. You know, as a man, I have just very few abilities. I can only do so many things. But my God is able to do everything. To do everything. He's able to create a world. He's able to sustain the world. He gave it everything that it needed to survive. Everything. And then He created a man to be on the world. Gave it a living soul. He knew they'd sin. Sure He did. God did everything. So He knew that there would be sin that would enter into the world. And He knew there'd have to be somebody bring us back. God knew this. And I have said this before, and I don't understand it all. I don't know that we're meant to understand everything in the Bible. Isaiah said that God's ways are higher than our ways, and we can't even get to His ways. I think it's good that we don't understand how everything works. My mind, I like to know why. If it happens, I want to know why it happens. If it works, I want to know how it works. But you know, God doesn't give us all the clues all the time. But I'm convinced this morning that my God is able to hang this world right on its right axis and keep it there. Convinced of that. I want you to turn with me now over into the New Testament. These are very familiar Scriptures, I know. And there'll be ones that you'll probably be able to identify with very quickly.
verses of Scripture that I love dearly. And this was talking about the light that shineth in darkness, how God was the Word, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." Revelation says that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, and he's the end. You know, in the beginning, I don't know, I can't just in my mind imagine what it was like to start the world. You know, I wonder sometimes if God just thought, you know, "I'm pretty bored. I guess I need something to keep me busy." So he thought, "I'll create the world and there'll be all of these things that'll happen." And I think maybe sometimes he's sitting up there on his throne and he thinks, "Boy, I made a mistake." But guess what? God has never made a mistake. We look around and we think, maybe God made some mistakes. But you know what makes the mistakes? Us. And the sin that is in our lives, that's what makes the mistakes. But I often think, what God must look down and he must see. You know, I'm reminded of what Moses was given when he went up onto the mount. He was given these Ten Commandments that said, the very first one that was given to him said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What kind of gods was that? In the Bible and in life today, we see gods and there are uppercase G's and there are lowercase G's. I want you to understand something this morning. There's only one God that is worthy of that uppercase letter. And you say, "Preacher, that sounds pretty minute in the scheme of things." But I want you to realize something this morning. We live in a world that there are many gods. And you say, "Preacher, how can you say that from behind the pulpit?" Anything that comes between you and God becomes your God. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one and you'll hate the other. The Bible says that anything that comes between us and God, it's an idol or a god. You know what those gods are? They're little G's. They're not big G's. Only one of those. And things that come between our service to the big, great, almighty God, they become gods to us. And I'm going to say this morning, we don't need any of those gods in our service. We need to reverence and give respect to the one true God that sits upon His throne in glory. Now, preacher, that's easy to say standing from behind the pulpit. And I realize that. There's a lot of things that come into this world that captivate us. A lot of things that change our minds and they captivate our hearts and things of that nature. But I want us to realize this morning is Mount Calvary Church. And I want you to realize something this morning. We talked about the revival that'll be coming up. If we're ever going to have a true revival in our churches, if we're ever going to have a true revival in our nation that has turned away from God, completely and utterly taking God out of everything, the God that Job said was magnificent, that was great, that did all of these things, that His power and His strength were greater than anything else in this world, they've turned their back on Him. But if we're ever going to have a true revival here, We're going to have to set our affections on the things of God. We're going to have to put God back up on His pedestal. You know, I remember over in the Old Testament, there's a brazen serpent that said, "You must lift Him up." And it was a type of Christ. The Bible, they said, "You lift Him up and they will look unto Him. They will look unto it." In the New Testament, the Bible says, if His name be lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. I told you when I first got started that God's name was more than just a swear word. But we're living in a society that God has been reduced to just that. You know what God demands today? You say, "Preacher, demands a hard word to try to use." Don't you think this morning that God is deserving of our honor and our glory that we give to Him? God demands that because God is the ultimate supreme being. He is the one that sets our lives into motion, that sets everything into motion that ever has been or ever will be. So He demands that our love and our affection be on Him. Don't you think today that we as God's people, our affections and our love should be on God and Him alone? And you say, "Preacher, that's also pretty hard." I told you that there are a lot of things this morning that captivate our minds and they captivate our hearts. But you know what we've got to do this morning? We've got to fall in love with God again. This nation is going to have to fall in love with God again. When I read those verses of Scripture the other night there in Job, I began to just smile because I began to think about how wonderful that God is. You know, we hear today about how God is love, and I believe that God is love. I believe that. But we also read in the Scriptures about the wrath of God. And lost people, I want you to understand this. God loves you more than anything in this world. If He didn't, He wouldn't have sent His Son for you. The Scriptures tell us that. But I want you to understand, on the same stage that stands God's love is a God of wrath. A jealous God. And He's jealous over you. You see, in the Bible we're told that when we're lost and we've not been saved by the grace of God, that we are a child of the devil. Plus, how hard that is for people to believe that they are a child of the devil. We don't want to think about it. But God is jealous over you, and He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be His and belong to Him. And those that never turn to Him for salvation, there is a wrath of God that is coming. There is a wrath of God that will come for this nation and for all nations that will not seek God. There's some Scripture that says, "Blessed is the nation that God is their king." Blessed is the nation that God is their king or their Lord. Blessed. Blessed is it. We look around us today, and Brother Caleb showed me before Sunday school a shooting that had taken place in Baton Rouge. That is becoming a common thing in our nation today. I'm going to say this morning, if this nation would turn back to God, if we as God's people would fall in love with God again, and you say, "Preacher, I haven't ever fallen out of love with Him." When is the last time that you realized just how much God loved you? When is the last time, as God's people, that we spent time with God? You know, the people that I love, I want to be with. I love you all here at this church more than I love just about anybody in this world. I wish I could be with you all every day, all day. That's how much that I love you. But you know, God loves us more. And God wants to be with us. God wants to have us, all of our affections and all of our lives. He's got our souls. He's got that. That's what He wants. But you know, the Bible also says, submit yourself therefore to God. It says, be a living sacrifice to God, for that is our reasonable service. It is our service to God that we are a living sacrifice toward Him. You know, we talk a lot about sacrifices in the Old Testament. Now they had to be the best that God had. Now they had to be the things that were without spot and without blemish. And God wants us to be a living sacrifice to Him, holy and acceptable unto God, that we may give our portion to Him. You know, God this morning is deserving of all of those things. God this morning is so great. You know, this morning when I got up, I thought, you know, I've got to get up there and I've got to preach to these people about You. And I thought, you know, You have chosen the lowliest person in the world to try to tell a congregation about how great that You are. The only way that I know to tell you how great God is for you to experience God for yourself. Brothers and sisters, as we come into this place today, we have God at our very fingertips. We have God at our very doorstep, if you will. We have God at our very core, if we want Him to be. And I'm speaking to myself this morning. But we've got to unlock the power of God. We read about in Acts chapter 2 about the power that the church was given on the day of Pentecost. You know what power that was? It was power from God above. It was power that spread across that whole area there. And many people were saved because they were able to see the glory of God. I am a believer this morning that those that love God diligently seek God. What I mean by that is they don't just put God on a back burner and they forget about Him all the time, but they actively seek out God because God is great. God is a good God. You know, we live in this time and place nowadays, and we look around and we say, well, you know, God is just letting all of these things happen. God has just forgotten His people. The problem is that His people have forgotten Him. The problem is that His people don't remember His name anymore. They reduce Him to that three-letter word that we all say. I'm guilty as anybody of just saying it with habit. I want you to understand something this morning. He's more. He's more than that. I want you to read with me, if I can turn there, over to Psalms division 100. 100th division of Psalms. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. A lot of times we joke around with making a joyful noise to the Lord, and we'll talk about singing, and we'll say, well, you know, I'm making a noise, I don't know how joyful that it is. And a lot of times that's how I feel. Most of the time I feel like when I begin to sing unto the Lord that I'm just making a noise, and it may not be too joyful. And when I mean falling in love with God again, I mean spending some time with Him. I came up here this week and I walked in the front door, and my heart this week has just been burdened. I was up late Friday morning. I guess it was Saturday morning at that time. Woke up about 3 o'clock and I was just as broken as I could be. Just had come out of the service there at Faith that night, and I knew that I had to preach last night, and had that on my mind, had this message on my mind, had tonight's message on my mind, had the message for Friday night on my mind. I just had a lot of things that were just breaking my heart, and I just said, Lord, I can't do these things unless You help me. God, I don't even know how to preach. I don't even know how to breathe. I don't even know how to walk. I don't even know how to speak, except that You would help me. God, I don't even know how to do the very basic things of life, except that You would get me out of this bed and help me to do them. And I just laid there and I kept thinking to myself, God, how can You make me fall in love with You again? Not that I've ever fallen out of love with Him, But you know, sometimes you've got to, and I preached at the Indianapolis Youth Weekend a couple weeks ago about igniting the fire. About igniting our love for God. Igniting our zeal, our passion for an almighty God. Igniting our passion for this work. And I began to sing last night. And as I sang the other day as I walked into this building, I walked straight to the front door, and usually I turn on a light, but I didn't do that. Walked straight from the glass doors into the sanctuary, and I stood about where Sister George and Sister Burris are this morning, and I began to sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." I sang it as loud as I could. I don't even know if it was on key. I don't even care if it was or not. But I began to sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And as we close this sermon today in a few moments of time, I want us all to stand together and I want us to sing that together. And I want you to sing it like you've never sang it before. I want you to ask God not to pass us by here today. You know, God can't pass us by pretty much longer. He can't pass our lives. He can't pass our churches. If we ever expect anything to change in our lives, in our churches, God cannot pass us by. He can't. And as I began to walk around the church, and I was just singing as loud as I could. Nobody was here. Nobody had a cat. If somebody walked up there, somebody's in there killing a cat. But I was just singing at the top of my lungs. And I said, "Lord, please. Please don't pass us by here at Mount Calvary. Please don't let us go any longer without having your help. Lord, please don't pass us by." I don't know if it's a joyful noise. But I entered His courts with singing. And I asked God today that we would fall in love with Him again. That we would love God at our very core. That every day that we wake up, that He would be our first thought. That He'd be our last thought before we go to bed. I was laying in bed Saturday morning. I was just saying, my neighbor probably heard me. I don't care. And I began to sing, "Pass Me Not. Oh, gentle Savior, pass me not. Lord, hear our humble cries." I read the verse of Scripture that says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands." Lord, don't pass us by. Don't let us die in this place. Let us have your mercy. God, we need you. The same God that spoke the world into existence. The same God that told Moses, when Moses said, "Why would you choose me to serve you?" And God said, "I am that I am. I'm the God that will be with you. I'm the God that will help you." The same God that created the world spoke to Moses. The same God that led the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's hand, got them to the Red Sea. And when they got there, the seas opened. And they walked over on dry land. And then when they got over, the seas closed back up and defeated Pharaoh's army. Same God that was there. Same God that fast forward to July 14th, 2004, that saved my soul. Same God that a few years later would call me to preach. The same God a few years later would lead me or call me to pastor this same church or this church here at Mount Calvary. It's the same God that I need today. He's the same God. As Brother Ron preached tonight, I thought, well, he could just go down to Mount Calvary and preach for me on Sunday morning that exact message. Brothers and sisters, we have got to hold to God's unchanging hand. We've got this revival coming up. If we want to have a revival, we're going to have to put everything else aside for a while. What we really need to do is put them aside forever. And serve God with everything that we've got. You know what Job was told about him at the end of his book? It said Job was blessed with long days or a long life. It looked like Job had just been taken and crushed. But you know who he knew his help was? He said, "I know." Didn't say, "I think." He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that in my flesh, I shall see Him. Though the skin worms, they devour my flesh. In my flesh, I shall see Him." You read in the Old Testament, New Testament, they got to see God. A lot of times you say, "Preacher, God didn't manifest Himself in the Old Testament." Oh, yes, He did. Many times God manifests Himself and we just look away. the New Testament, God came in the form of a son named Jesus. Then He came in the form of a spirit. And He's still here today. That same God is here today. And I'm asking you this morning, please don't turn God away. If you're today and lost, you need to be saved. You need the God that I have. You can't wait any longer. This time that we have, it's not guaranteed to you. You need God as your Savior. And church, we need God to ignite our fire. We've got to have it. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have that, we have nothing. If we don't have God, we might as well just go home. I'm not going home. Because God's not going to pass us by. He's not going to pass us by. Oh, for a little while, just consider the miraculous works of God. Consider how good that He is. As I was praying earlier, I said something and I didn't even realize I had meant to say. But I said, God, You're good even when everything else is bad. That's hard to say. God, You're good even when everything else is bad. Job could say that. Job, no doubt, if anybody had the right to say, God, You're good when everything else is bad, Job could say that. Maybe you're Job today and maybe something's bothering you. I don't know what it is. I'm not with you all the time and I can't tell you what bothers you. But I'll say this. We need God today. We've got to have Him. Please, I'm begging you. If you think I'm the silliest person in the world, that's fine with me. I don't care what you think. But we need God. And I'm going to ask us to stand and I'm going to ask us to sing this song. Maybe we need to come on the altar and sing it. I don't know how we need to do it. But we need to unite ourselves in asking God to please don't pass us by. Please don't let us go any longer without having Your help. God, we need You in this place today. We need Him. If you think for a moment you don't need God, you just try that and see how it works for you. And I guarantee you it won't work long. We need God this morning. I'm asking you, please. God won't pass us by. Wake you up at 3:00 in the morning. You just have to sing to God. You say, preacher, that sounds silly. Maybe to you it does. Read the verse of Scripture that David put before us. He said, enter thy court singing with praise, with singing. Make a joyful noise unto God. Maybe you can't sing a lick, but you sing this morning with everything you've got. Ask God, please, please don't pass us by. If you want to have a revival, if you want to see God manifest Himself in this church, we've got to ask God not to pass us by. Light your fire today. And praying as a saved person, you come right up here. I'll pray with you. I ain't doing anything. I can pray with you. If you're lost and you need to seek God, come seek God and He'll save you. But we need Him this morning. I always sing it's 246 in the yellow song book. Sing it like you've never sang. Don't pass me by, Lord. Please don't pass us by this morning. May God help you is our prayer while we stand in the moment.